Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Chav Tes, and we're going to begin on Daf Chav Chesam Abeis, the last word of the second to the bottom line. So yesterday we had learned the Braisa that identified the three Tanoim that spoke about the various Isurim of Chametz, when they are applicable. And now the Gemara, as we said, wants to identify Mani Masnisen, who exactly is the Tan of our Mishnah. Ir Yehuda, if you're going to say it's Rabbi Yehuda, it's chametz tamakama. Rabbi Yehuda says that all chametz is also before Pesach, during Pesach, after Pesach, filled the nachri, even the chametz of a goy. Our Mishnah says that the chametz of a goy is mutter after Pesach, so it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Here, Rabbi Shimon, if it's Rabbi Shimon, the Yisrael Namri Mishra Kashari, Rabbi Shimon holds that the chametz of a Jew is mutter after Pesach. And our Mishnah says that the chametz of a Jew is not mutter after Pesach. A very interesting Rashi. The way we explained Rav Shimon says chametz after Pesach is mutter b'ano, is mutter. Mutter, we would say mutter, both in eating and ano. If you look at the top Rashi of the Amid, the Tzlach makes an observation. Rashi says that even according to Rav Shimon, it's only mutter b'ano after Pesach, seeming to mean that it would not be mutter b'achila. Ask the Tzlach why. Rav Shimon said there is no pasuk that says the chametz after Pesach is aser. So the Tzlach answers, based on what we explained yesterday, that even though Rav Shimon said that chametz on Erev Pesach is not aser, so yesterday we explained what does it mean it's not aser. It's not aser b'hano, but it's mutter b'achila. So says the Tzlach, that's what Rashi's saying. Just like Rav Shimon, when he spoke about Erev Pesach, he only said it's mutter b'hano, not b'achila, so too after Pesach, Rav Shimon will only say the chametz is mutter b'hano, but not b'achila. V. Rabbi Yosef Glili, if you want to say that the Tana of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Glili, afilo toich zman nami mishuk kashari. Rabbi Yosef Glili, even during Pesach, holds that chametz is mutter. Certainly after Pesach, mishuk kashari b'hano. Says Rav Amar Vach b'Yakov, lo'olam Rabbi Yehudahi. Really, the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The Yalef Sa'or Da'achila Mesa'or Da'riya. He says that the only time it's usher to eat chametz, it's on that type of chametz that there will be an Issa Ba'irah Ba'imotza. Ma'asa'or Da'riya. On when is there an Issa Ba'irah Ba'imotza? Shulchoya Teroya. You're not allowed, it's your chametz that you're over Ba'irah Ba'imotza. Av'ateroya Shulchem Shulgavoya. There is no problem of chametz of a goy and chametz of Hegdish. There, the halach is that there's no problem by Yirah, by Yimotza. Afsar d'achila, the Isser of Chametz after Pesach, it's only Shilchoya ta'oichel. It's only on Jewish Chametz, Avol ata'oichel shal cheirim v'shal gevoya. Non-Jewish Chametz or Hegdish Chametz is mutter after Pesach. Says the Gemara, and we pointed this out yesterday, U'bedinhu di'boy le'misni da'fila b'achila na'mishari. The truth is that we should have said in our Mishnah that chametz on Pesach of a goy is even mutter to be eaten. So why did, and chametz after Pesach of a goy could be eaten. Why do we say only that it's mutter b'hano? Says the Gemara, because we want to offer a contrast. For I did the Tani de Yisrael also b'hano, since we said in our Mishnah that the chametz of a Jew after Pesach, not only is it also b'achila, it's either Osir, Bahano, Tani, Nami, the Nochri Mut Bahano. That's why to stay consistent, we say that the Chametz of a Goy after Pesach is Mut Bahano, but truthfully, not only is it Mut Bahano, it's even Mut Bahachila. Ubedinhu, Dafilo Misna Afilo Betoksman Mut Bahano. Not only during Pesach is a mutter, after Pesach is a goy's chametz mutter, even during Pesach it's mutter. Because we're saying now that if there is no bayirah bayimotzei, there is no problem. Just for, I did, so why didn't the Mishnah tell us that big chiddush? Why did the Tana of Yisrael lachaz manoi, since the Mishnah wanted again point out that chametz after Pesach, a Jew's chametz, is osir, and it's osir even b'hano. That's why Tani Nami did not rachlas manoi. That's why the Mishnah chose to speak about the chametz of a goy after Pesach. But truthfully, the chametz of a goy, even during Pesach, is mutter. So there's a few things to say here. Firstly, a very fundamental question. We've discussed about shalachem v'shal gevoya many times, And why do we describe Shalcheirim? We say Shalcheirim means the chametz of a goy. That's how we just explained it here. So the Pnei Yeshua asks, why does Shalcheirim mean a goy? Why doesn't Shalcheirim mean the chametz of anybody besides yourself? Isn't that the literal definition of a cheirim? Someone else. And even, therefore, the chametz of another Jew, as long as it's not yours, should be mutter. So they answer that chametz owned by a Jew, no matter where it is, whether it's by me or by him, is osir. It's a cheftza. It's a cheftza of isser, chametz owned by a Jew. So therefore, shalcheirim cannot mean of a Jew, it has to mean of a goy. And what is our Gemara saying now? That chametz of a goy during Pesach is mutter. Mutter even by achila. So Rashi says that according to, this is not the way we paskin, nobody should get the wrong idea, but according to this, if you take the chametz of a goy and eat it on Pesach, it's fine. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, but Tosfos only disagrees because of a technicality. Tosfos says, the moment you take the goy's chametz and put it into your mouth, it becomes yours. And therefore, it's chametz shel Yisrael. So that's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that we don't worry about that. We'll explain in a minute why Rashi is not concerned. And Tosfos says there's a technical consideration that the moment you take the chametz into your mouth, it becomes yours. Without that technical consideration, it would be mutter even according to Tosfos. What is the Machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos? Why does Rashi say that I could eat a goy's chametz and it doesn't become mine? And Tosfos says the moment I take the goy's chametz into my mouth, it becomes mine. So some mefarshim, there are a lot of explanations to this. The Ravitz says that we're speaking in a case where the chametz was put not into your mouth; it was stuck right into your past your esophagus. So therefore, the kinyan of the chametz being yours, it's not there because the way you kinyan the chametz is by chewing it. You're not chewing it; they stuck it past your beis habliya, but the chametz is still the guy's. And Tosfos doesn't want to use that pshat in the Gemara. Or another pshat that I saw is that the chametz here has a kezayis, so there's an issue of chametz, but it's not worth a pruta. And there's no kinyan on something that's worth less than a pruta. That's how Rashi will explain the Gemara. But then I saw from the Dvar Shmuel a beautiful pshat. It's a random masecht in the Dorim. The random masecht in the Dorim discusses the following shaila. It's a very relevant shaila. If you invite somebody to your house to eat, and you give him food, you give him a meal, is the food become his, or is the food yours that you're allowing him to eat it? So Rashi is going to hold that when the guy gives me a meal, it's not my meal, it's his. He's just allowing me to eat his food. And therefore, there's no problem that when I eat it, it becomes mine. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that when a guy gives me something to eat, it's not just that it's his food that I'm eating. It becomes mine. What's the nafkamina? It's a very big nafkamina lalocha. Can I take that food and use it to be mekadosh anisha? The halacha is that to affect kedushin, it has to be something that's yours. That's why you see the Masada Kedushin always asks the chassan, is the ring yours? So according to the mandam that says that the food becomes yours, you could use it to be mekadosh anisha. According to the mandam, it's the guys or whoever you're eating by, you cannot be mekadosh anisha. And that exactly says that Dvar Shmuel is the machloikis Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the food does not become yours, so we don't have a problem. Tosfos says the food becomes yours, so we have that problem when you're eating the chametz of a guy. But Hanoah, Tosfos would say, according to this point in the Gemara, you would like to have Hanoah from the chametz of a guy. Again, this is not the halacha. Rava has a whole different psat in the Mishnah. Loyal and Rav Shimon he. Our Mishnah is going according to Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon knas akonis. Rav Shimon gives a knas, a fine, punishment. Since hoil v'ovale b'bayi ra b'bayi matzah. Since during Pesach, you're not allowed to have the chametz. So Chazal punished you that even after Pesach, if you hold on to it, midrabonon, we fine you. Now, ask the tzlach, if that's Pshat in the Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah is even going according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili will also say that after Pesach, we fine you, we can't see you for having the chametz. So Tzlach has a beautiful answer. He says, according to Rabbi Shimon, chametz on Pesach is also b'hanor. So we could understand the concept that Chazal don't want you to hold on to the chametz during Pesach, and they're afraid, so they expand the knas till even after Pesach. But according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, even during Pesach, it's mutar b'hanah. So there's no place to make a knas. It was never osir. That's why the Mishnah has to say it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, says the Gemara, Bishlam l'rova, hanig d'tani, shall yisrael osir. Now we understand what the Mishnah says, that the chometz is osir, shim shenem lo yirah. What does that mean? Since on Pesach, there's an issur lo yirah, so Chazal said after Pesach, there's a knas. Eller v'achav b'yakov, mishum lo yoichel chometz b'boilei. According to Rabbi Yaakov, why is chometz after Pesach osir? Because we explained the Mishnah, is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's an issur lo yichometz. So the Mishnah is quoting the wrong pasuk. Answers the Gemara, mi sabris a sefer koy. When the Mishnah quotes the pasuk of lo yirah lecha, it's not explaining the sefer why the chometz of a goy is why the chometz of a Jew, is osur after Pesach a reishikoy. It's referring to the first din of the Mishnah. Vachi kamer, the Mishnah is saying like this: chometz shenachrish avla of a Pesach, chometz of a goy after Pesach muta b'hano. Why is it mutar b'hanah? Mishum shenem lo yirah lecha. The only time there's a problem of chometz after Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is where there's a problem of lo yirah by yimotza. Shalchay t'roi v'atar roi shalachayim shalgevoya. There is no problem by yirah by yimotza on the chometz of the goy, and therefore v'yalv sar da'achila m'sar da'riya. Therefore, there is no problem of chometz shavu Pesach, because there is no problem by yirah by yimotza, according to this, on chometz of the goy. V'azlo tamayu. The machloikis of Rava Ravach b'Yaakov is really l'shitosam. The itmar ha'oichel s'or shonochri sh'ovelav ha'Pesach. You eat the chometz of a guy after Pesach. The divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rava amaloikim, because Rava says the Yehuda does not differentiate between the chometz of a guy and the chometz of a Jew. According to Rava's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, all chometz is also b'hano after Pesach. And if you eat it, there would be a malchus. No difference if it's Jews or Zagoys. V'achav Yaakov amar enaloika. Because Rav Yaakov Yaakov says Rav Yehuda agrees that chometz she'oval of a Pesach does not apply to a goy's chometz. And it's only a Jew's chometz, and that's why there's no malchus. Now here we introduced a very important concept, which is the way we pass in l'alocha. The why is chometz she'oval of a Pesach osur? Because it's a knas. Chazal gave a fine that we shouldn't have chometz shavu Pesach, and what's the reason? Because it's concerned that we'll have if chometz shavu of a Pesach will be mutter, a person may keep chometz on Pesach. It's only a knas medrabon, and that opens itself to a lot of shailas in the Rishonim. One shaila in the Rishonim is like this. This is the fundamental shaila. Let's say you have chometz, you mevatel the chometz. So midai raisa, it's fine. You're not over by Yirah, by Yimotzah. We go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. Chazal said you have to do Bedikas Chometz. But the rice, it's not yours. Let's say you did Bittel, but you didn't get rid of the Chometz. You didn't sell the Chometz and get rid of the Chometz. Will the Knas still be applicable? Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, no. Since with the rice, this Chometz is not yours, there is no Knas. Other Rishonim say, yes, because otherwise nobody's ever going to do Bedikas Chometz. And other Rishonim differentiate between an Issa Achila and Issa Hanoah. They'll say that if you did Bittel, there won't be an Issa Hanoah on that Chometz, because we won't give you a Knas, but there will be an Issa Achila. And similarly, let's say you had Chometz that you weren't aware of. So the question is a Knas appropriate? A punishment is appropriate when you did something wrong. So if here, Midaraisa, you didn't do anything wrong, it's only by oinus, because you did Bittel. Again, the Mishnah Berurah seems to paskin that if there was an oinus and you did Bittel, we would be makel, certainly b'hanah. Or, let's say it was Chometz Shalafel of Mapoilus, that a building fell on it. So we learned that if it's not 3 tfachim of rubble, you have to clear it away. Is a knas appropriate there? Another example, we spoke about this yesterday. Chometz shel cheresh shoyt v'katan. The Midaraisa, there's no problem with their chometz. So will the knas apply there? A knas could apply to an adult, but not to the chometz of a cheresh shoyt v'katan. Perhaps there is no reason to make a knas. Chometz that's only osim midrabonon. Chometz noiksha. Will Chazal make a knas? Because again, it's only a punishment, so how far did Chazal punish us? There's an interesting shaila, and it could be very much halacha l'maisa from the Noida Yehuda. The Noida Yehuda was asked, let's say somebody is a religious Jew, he's a Baal Tshuva, and his father's not religious, and he owns a bakery. And the bakery, he owned the bakery over Pesach, it's Chomet Shavuot over Pesach. He's not religious, but he inherited, his father died, and now he inherited the whole bakery, and it's all Chomet Shavuot over Pesach. So is the Knas applicable there? So Noida Yehuda Paskins, it's an interesting Noida Yehuda, we don't have time to go into all the Lomdas. He says like this, if the father died before Pesach, certainly there's a problem. If the father died on Yontif, and there the Noida Yehuda is Mekel, he says, since when the father died on Yontif, you couldn't inherit Chametz, because Chametz doesn't really have a value on Yontif. There would not be a Knas, and you could have Anor from that Chametz. But I want to tell you one more tshuva that I saw, and I'm saying it, I'm prefacing by saying it, I'm saying it la-halocha, but not la-halocha la-maisa. Very relevant shaila. It's a tshuva from the Mishnah Halochas. He says, you know, normally when you buy chametz after Pesach, everybody knows going to a supermarket is a shaila. But it's not really that much of a shaila, because even if it's Jewish owned, stock rotates. So after a certain amount of time, you don't have to worry that it's chametz shavuot over Pesach. He says, but when you're dealing with schnapps, you don't have that situation. Schnapps lives for a long time. It even gets better with age. And if the owner, if the manufacturer of the schnapps, or not necessarily the manufacturer, or the distributor of the schnapps, is Jewish, but he's not religious, and he doesn't sell his chametz, why isn't chametz shavuot over Pesach? And that could remain a problem for many, many years. So he says a very, very big chiddush. And again, I'm not saying it, anybody should do it l'maisa, but he says a chiddush. He says, what is a knas? A knas is a punishment. Who would you punish, he says? You punish somebody who's going to listen to you. In other words, let's relate to a child. If you have a child that's somewhat mature, intelligent, you punish him because like that you want to be mechanichim the right way. But let's say your child is an infant or your child has another problem, there's no point in punishing him, he doesn't understand. He says a mumer, somebody who's totally irreligious, there's no point in punishing him, he won't listen. He says even if these people in this business are Jewish, they're mumrim, they don't believe in this, there's no point in making knas. Your chametz is going to be asur. He knows from chametz, he knows from knas. He doesn't do anything. And to a mumer, there is no knas. And since it's not inherently asur, it's not that the Torah said that this is a shtik macholos asuris, it's a shtik chazer. The Torah said it's a knas. We don't make knas, knasos on a mumer, and therefore it will be mutter. Again, I'm not saying anybody should rely on this, but it's an interesting concept in how you look at a knas. Mishnah Lachas. Continues the Gemara. V'hada be Rav Acha me'Yakov mehi. It says the Gemara, Rav Acha be'Yakov retracted from his explanation of the Mishnah. The Tanya. It says in a Braisa, Ha'oichel chametz shel hegdish b'moyed. If someone eats the chametz of hegdish on Yontif, mo'al. He was over me'ila. V'yesh amrim loy mo'al. And some say he was not over me'ila. So we need to understand this machloikis. Ask the Gemara, "Ma me yeshaimrim? What is this machlokes?" Says the Gemara, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonahi. This machlokes is going: do we or don't we accept the principle of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah? The Tanya, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah, how you oisus Yom Kippurim k'shabbos l'tashlumen. We know that the halacha of kimlei b'derabinei, that whenever a person does an aveira for which there is two punishments, you only give him the more severe punishment. So he said." He treated Yom Kippur and like Shabbos. What does that mean? Man Shabbos mischai b'nafsho yipatim tashlumim. Let's say in Shabbos I tear somebody else's garment. So I'm chai from chil Shabbos, skila. I'm also chai for paying him. So kimlei b'derabinei tells me that I'm potter from paying. Here, same thing on Yom Kippur. Mischai b'nafsho yipatim tashlumim. Says the Gemara, that's the machloikis here. The man the Omer that says you're not chai for me'ila, because you ate chametz. Chametz is a chiyuv karis. Just like Yom Kippur is a chiyuv karis. And wherever there's a chiyuv karis, you don't make him pay the me'ila. On the other hand, the Mount Omer that says there is Mila, he says when there's only a Chiv Karis, not a Chiv Misa Bezdin, we don't say Kimle B'drabimnei. Chametz is only a Chiv Karis, and therefore we don't say Kimle B'drabimnei, and there's Mila, his Chiv Karis, and Mila. So there's a few things to ask. Firstly, by Mila, there's not only paying for the principal, you also have to pay a chaymish above the principal. That's not tashlumim, that's a knas. So the Rishonim answer that wherever you don't pay the keren, wherever you don't pay the principal, you also absolve from the tashlumim, and you also absolve from the carbon. Asks Rashi, how could you say that there's a chiv karis and a chiv mi'ila at the same time? We said just the other day, when is there a chiv mi'ila? Only b'shagig. When is there a chiv karis? B'mezit. So what was it? Is it a mezid or is it a shaygig? How did both come together? So Rashi explains, interesting teretz, that on the chametz it was a mezid, and on the hegdish he was a shaygig. He knew he was eating chametz deliberately, but he was not aware that this chametz he was eating was hegdish. Tosfos has a very different explanation. Tosfos says that when we say kimlei b'drabimnei, we say kimlei b'drabimnei, even, says Tosfos, on something where there is no chiv karis, he did a b'shagig. But since this is an aveira for which there is a chiv karis, albeit not in this specific situation, it's already considered a chiv karis. So that's why here we could be a shagig on the chametz, we're a shagig on the hegdish, but it's still considered an aveira for which there is karis, and kimlei b'drabimnei is appropriate. Why doesn't Rashi say like Tosfos? Because Rashi says, when do we say that as long as there's an aveira for which there's a chiv karis, even though you wouldn't be chiv karis because you did a b'shoigig, we say kimlei b'drabimnei, that's when it's aveira that's a misa b'dei odom, misa bezdin. Here we're dealing that, number one, it's only a chiv karis, it's misa b'dei shemayim. Number two, you actually didn't do it b'mezit. So Rashi wouldn't say anybody would hold, even Rabbi Chunyim Be'Kona wouldn't hold that you say kimlei b'drabimnei. That's why Rashi had to say his interesting teretz that you're amazed on the chametz and a shagig on the hektish. Rabbi Yosef says the explanation of this machlokes is different machlokes. But poydim es kochim lachlil l'klovim. That means like this: the man the army here holds like Rabbi Yosef Aglili that on Pesach you're allowed to have hanor from chametz. Since on Pesach you're allowed to have hanor from chametz, but you're not allowed to eat chametz, so you can redeem this chametz and give it to a dog. You can't eat it, but you can give it to your animal to eat, because that's only hanor. And the question is that considered a value? You can be paid the kachim to give it to klavim, so it has a value. So since it has a value, you did mila. Even though you're allowed to have hanor from chametz, but you're not allowed to redeem it to give it to a dog, so it has no value. Rav Acha bar Rava tana lo l'ha shmatza mishmai de Rav Yosef b'holishma. He explained this machlokes in the following way: the kula alma paidim sekachim lachlim l'klavim. Everybody says you could redeem chametz to give it to a dog. What's the machlokes between if there is or isn't mila? V'hach v'hakim efki. But dava hagorim l'mamim k'mamim dami. If something that doesn't have an intrinsic value but could have a value is considered money. Even though the chametz doesn't have a value, you're not allowed to eat it, but since you could sell it and give it to a dog, it's considered that it has a value. Or mandama loimol, the mandama that holds that there was no mila, says that since now chametz has no intrinsic value, so therefore kasava dovah garvel mamon is laf kamamon dami. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, the kula alma holds the gavah garvel mamon kamamon dami. What is the machlokes? The machlokes is the machlokes that we had of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Mandama loymol, the mandama holds that you didn't do mila, holds Rabbi Yehuda. That he holds that chametz of hegdish is osur. Not only is it osur on Pesach, it's even osur after Pesach. So since it's osur after Pesach, it has no value, even after Pesach. So since it has no value, there is no mila. Or mandama mol holds like Rav Shimon, that yes, on Pesach, chametz has no value, but after Pesach, it has a value. And since after Pesach, it has a value, something that will eventually have a value, to moment is already considered like it has a value. But what is Rav Achba Yaakov saying here? Rav Achba Yaakov is saying that chametz of Hedish is even after Pesach according to Rabbi Yehuda, also b'hano. As the Gemara, Rav Achba Yaakov said on Amun Aleph that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when is there a problem with chametz after Pesach? Only with chametz that belongs to a Jew. Chametz that belongs to a guy, or chametz that belongs to a Hegdish, is not osur b'hano. So what's the Gemara saying now? The Rav Achba Yaakov says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, chametz even of Hegdish after Pesach has no value. Rav Achba Yaakov, we just started today's shir, said the chametz of Hegdish is different. That's the Gemara's question. Rav Achba Yaakov Huda Omer, the Rav Yehuda Yaal saw the Achilim and saw the Riyah, and said that just like there's no bayi raw, bayi matzah on chametz of Hegdish, there is no isser of chametz after Pesach on chametz of Hegdish. So what are you saying, says the Gemara of Achba Yaakov, that after Pesach the chametz of a Hegdish is still osser? It must be, had by Rav Achba Yaakov, maha, Rav Achba Yaakov retract. Ask Tzlach, it's obvious that Rav Achba Yaakov and Amud Beis, and Rav Achba Yaakov and Amud Aleph can work together. One of them he must have retracted. But who says that he retracted from what he said in Amun Aleph? Maybe he retracted from what he said in Amun Beis. So the Tzlach answers a beautiful teretz. The Tzlach says, if we explain that Rav Achba Yaakov's teretz in Amun Beis is what he really holds in the final analysis, and what's the machlokes? It's a machlokes that we have throughout Shas. These are very familiar concepts that we are familiar with. If, on the other hand, we say that Rav Achba Yaakov holds, that Rav Yehuda holds that chametz after Pesach is mutter, is also b'ano, chametz shel Hegdish, Rav Shimon, we know, doesn't hold that way. So we're going to have to be creating a machloikis that we don't necessarily have to create. So he says, if I have to create a machloikis, or don't have to create a machloikis, I'd rather not create a machloikis and say that Rav Achba Yaakov and Amud Beis is correct, not Rav Achba Yaakov and Amud Aleph is correct. Rav Ashi has a different explanation. The Kula Amar Ein Poidim. You're not allowed to redeem chametz of Hegdish to feed it to dogs. Furthermore, the fact that eventually after Pesach will have a value doesn't mean anything to me. What is the machloikis? The hochtav plukta Rabbi Yosi Glil Rabbanan. The machloikis of Rabbi Yosi Glil Rabbanan. Man dama malk Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi holds that chometz on Pesach is mutter b'hano, so it has a value. Or man dama loimo, the man dama holds that there's no meal, holds like Rabbanan, that yes, maybe after Pesach it'll have a value, but on Pesach it has no value, and therefore it's worthless and there is no meal. Ask Toysus a gewaldige kasha. According to Rabbi Yosi Glili, what's the Gemara saying? That chametz on Pesach has a value. Why? Because I can redeem it. But redeeming it to give to a dog, we're saying, is not considered redemption. What could you redeem it for? To eat. But even if Yosef Glili holds, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So what are you telling me? I'll redeem it to eat. Once I redeem it to eat, Rabbi Yosef Glili says I'm not allowed to eat it. So Tosfos says a chiddush, that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, if somebody holds on to chametz with the intent to burn it, that's not considered that he did anything wrong. Since I'm holding on to chametz with the intent to burn it, that's not considered that I was over by Yerah by Yematzah. When is there an Isser? If I'm holding on to chametz to hold on to it. Here I'm redeeming it. Now you tell me I can't eat it? I won't eat it. I'll burn it. But when I redeemed it, the redemption was a legitimate redemption. Big chiddush. But I want to tell you where I saw this chiddush is relevant la halacha l'maaseh. There was a shaila asked to Rebbe Yosef. Rebbe Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down the shiloh. Somebody owns a very large factory that makes kosher Pesach product. Accidentally, one of his workers puts something chametz into something that was marked kosher Pesach. And now, the product obviously is chametz, may not be sold. So there are two shilohs asked to Rebbe Yosef. The first shiloh is, could he collect insurance? He has to say he has an insurance policy for this kind of situation. Could he collect insurance? Does it mean that he's profiting from chametz? So, what? No, on Pesach it happened. It happened on Pesach. So Rav Yosef said that's not called profiting from chametz. It's a long explanation. He said that collecting money from insurance doesn't mean that you're doing business, that you're profiting. That was one shaila. But then they asked him another shaila. He says, no insurance company is just going to take your claim, and you write a claim, you owe me this and this, this was my loss, and pay it. What do? They send down some sort of a auditor to assess what the loss was. So now you're holding on to this chametz product. It's Pesach. It's mashes chametz. You're holding on to chametz till this... there's a word for it. What's the name of the person? The adjuster. Till the adjuster comes to look at it. You're not holding on to chametz by your raw, by your matzah. So it says Rabbi Yashiv, based on this taisis, hamashes chametz amnas levaroi. You're holding on to chametz, but your intention is to get rid of it. As soon as the adjuster does whatever he does, you'll destroy the chametz. That's not called by Yiro by Yimotza. Continues the Gemara. We begin now a new sugya, and this is the sugya of bittel. Bittel means nullification. And there are a few concepts that are important to know when we learn Hilchus Bittel. One concept in Hilchus Bittel is that there's a difference between min b'minoi and min b'she'en minoi. Are the two items, one fell into the other, of the same type, or are the two items of different types? Min b'minoi and min b'she'en minoi. And we'll see that difference in halacha between min b'minoi and min b'she'en minoi. Another concept that we should become familiar with is that in halacha you could have two types of mixtures. You could have a mixture of a lach b'lach, two liquids, where they get totally mixed. In other words, let's say wine and water, or any two liquids. Or you could have a mixture of a yovesh b'yovesh. That's two dry items. They don't really intrinsically get mixed. They may look mixed to you, but then each particle remains separate. In halacha, a mixture of a lach b'lach is considered much more of a mixture. When we talk about min b'minoi, we're not going to go into it. I just want to make it aware. We also need to know what is the definition of a min b'minoi. Is the definition, this is in Yerideya, is min b'minoi defined that it has the same name? In other words, you have two items that are both called matzah. Is it that called min b'minoi? Or is the definition of min b'minoi dependent on taste? Is a shmogorim, that they have the same, they fall under the same family, the same category, or is a tamagorim, that they have the same taste? Another question, whenever you're dealing with bittel, and we want to know if something is bottle, it's like this. Midoraisa, the Torah says you follow roif. We follow the majority. But as we will see, sometimes we say that even if it's a mashahu, even if something is just a drop, it's asur b'ano, it's asur, even though you have many, many more times. And let's say you have a drop of chametz falling into a lot of non-chametz. We say mashahu. Sometimes there's a concept of nois and tam. Nois and tam is that it gives off tam, which is as known in halacha as shishim. That if something, the halacha tells us that if one item falls into another item, if there's 60 times more of the majority than the non, it doesn't, generally, it doesn't give tam. That's called shishim, or nois and tam. Also, when we talk about bittel, that we say, the truth is you don't really need shishim. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, you look in the Gemara, really what you need to do is taste it. Does it give a taste or not? However, the Shulchan Aruch says we're not experts in really knowing if it gave a taste or not. That's why we follow the formula shishim. Now, there's a one more shaila. When we follow shishim, what do you look at? Do you look at volume, or do you look at weight? We generally look at volume. Continues the Gemara. I said a mouthful, but it'll all fall into place, I hope, in the Gemara. Amrav, chametz bezmanoi. If chametz during Pesach falls in bein b'minoi, say in something that's the same, bein shlo b'minoi, osur. That mixture becomes osur under all circumstances. Shlo bezmanoi, however, if it falls in after Pesach, b'minoi, osur. If it falls into the same type, it's osur. Shaloi b'minoi, but if it's not the same type, but mutter. Ask the Gemara Maiskin, and let's understand Rav's psak halacha here. Ilay benoisin tam. If we're talking that there's 60 times the heter versus the iser, as we just said, noisin tam shloi bezmanoi. So after Pesach, shloi b'minoi mutter hayab tama. It's giving time if there isn't 60 email. El b'mashahu. It must be there's a mashahu, and since it's only a mashahu, that's why it's mutter. Chometz bezmanoi. But what about during Yontif? Bein b'minoi, bein shloi b'minoi. Whether it's in the same as shnat n'min, it's always aser. Why? Let's understand why he's so machmer on Yontif. So explains the Gemara. Rava Tamei, the Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavayu, call a surin shvetayra. They both hold that whenever you're dealing of a mixture, a min b'minoi, the shear is mashahu. That's always the shear. So that's why if chametz on Pesach fell into minoi, they hold it certainly mashu. Has nothing to do with chametz. It's always, they hold throughout halacha, min b'minoi, what is the shear? A mashu. Shloi b'minoi, what is normally the halacha? Shloi b'minoi, the shear is normally nois and tam, which is, as I said, shishim. However, Rav made a gzera. Rav gozer chametz b'zmanoi, shloi b'minoi, that chametz on Pesach, when it's shloi b'minoi, where the shear really ought to be shishim, he made a gzera that even shloi b'minoi, it should be osu b'mashuhu ot b'minoi. Since min b'minoi is osu b'mashuhu, so Rav went and made a gzera. Now not only by min b'minoi will I say chometz b'pesach is osu b'mashuhu, even min shloi b'minoi. The shloi b'zmanoi, what about after Pesach? B'minoi, if it's min b'minoi, it's again, what do we say? Min b'minoi is always osur, because Krev Yehuda. Because like Krev Yehuda holds, the min b'minoi is always the shear, mashahu. And furthermore, Rav holds like Krev Yehuda, that we started today's shear, and actually learned in yesterday's shear, that chometz after Pesach is osur. It's only Rav Shimon that holds midaraisa, chometz after Pesach is mutter. But Rav Yehuda holds that chometz after Pesach is osur midaraisa. So you have a situation of iser. Chometz after Pesach is osur. It's min b'minoi. Min b'minoi, Rav holds the shear is mashahu. V'shloi b'minoi. What about shloi b'minoi after Pesach? B'mutter. It's mutter. To cause, why? There the shear is that it's shishim. Why? The shloi b'zmanoi. V'shloi b'minoi. That since it's after Pesach, and it's also min b'minoi, ot b'minoi, to go make gzeira. That say chometz after Pesach min b'minoi is taka v'mashu, and then go and say that even after Pesach I'm going to make gzeira min shloi b'minoi because of min b'minoi kula hay lo gezrina. I don't. That's pushing it. Rav says Shmuel because it's only shloi b'zman because it's really after Pesach. No, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not a knas, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees that chometz after Pesach, which is osur midaraisa, is not as osur as chometz on Pesach, because on Pesach you have bayirah bayimotzah, you have two more lavin, and there's a chiv chorus on Pesach. Rashi says, and there's a concept. So that's why on Pesach we're more machmer. After Pesach there's no chiv chorus. After Pesach there's no bayirah bayimotzah. So Rav doesn't feel that we have to make gzeiros on Pesach, which it's a lot more chomer. We do make gzeiros. That's Rav's shita. Shmuel Amar chometz v'zmanah b'mina osur. Why? We're going to explain it in a minute. Shloi b'minoi, mutter. Shloi b'zmanoi, after Pesach, ben b'minoi, ben shloi b'minoi, mutter. Now let's explain Shmuel's psak. Chometz b'zmanim, osur. On yontif, min b'minoi, because Shmuel tamei. Shmuel is according to his shita that we mentioned a moment ago. The rabbi Shmuel, the amri tavayu, kol asurin shvatayr b'minoi asurin b'mashu. So you have on yontif a situation of min b'minoi, min b'minoi, and it's osur, because chametz and Pesach is certainly osur. What is the shear by min b'minoi? Kol ha'tayr kula, the shear is mashu. Here is no different. Shloi b'minoi. What about if it's shloi b'minoi? Shmuel says that just like b'chol ha'tayr, what is the shear shloi b'minoi, nois and tam? Here too, it'll be nois and tam. Because Shmuel, Shloi b'minon atam minon. Rav said that since b'minon the shear is a mashu, so Rav went and expanded it and said that not only b'minon will I say it's also a mashu, even shloi b'minon. Shmuel says no reason to make such a gzera. Shloi b'zmanon. What about after Yontif? Bein b'minon, bein shloi b'minon. There makes no difference. He's always going to hold its mutter. Why? Because Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon. That we explained the coin to Reb Shimon. Chometz after Pesach is mutter. Midaraisa. We only said that possibly coin to Reb Shimon is a knas. But midaraisa it's mutter. So I don't make gezeiros, and as long as it's bottle, it's bottle. Rav Yochanan has a third shita. Chometz b'zmanoi, bein b'minoi, Bein shloi b'minoi, whether it's min, whether it's not it's min, the shear is nice and tam. Shloi b'zminon, after yontif, there's bein b'minon, bein shloi b'minon, it's always mutter. And the Gemara explains. Chometz b'zmanon, bein b'minon, bein shloi b'minon, bein nice and tam, it's shishim. Why? Rav Yochanan tamei, Rav Yochanan l'shlokish d'amit tavai, kol shishim b'toyru, bein b'minon, bein shloi b'minon, bein nice and tam. They don't hold that we differentiate between min b'minoi versus min shloi b'minoi. They say the shear is always nice and tam. So chometz is the same. What's going to be the shear? Nice and tam. Shloi b'zmanoi, after yontif, bein b'minoi, shloi b'minoi, whether it's in its min, whether it's not in its min, it's always going to be bottle, because they hold like Reb Shimon that chometz after Pesach is not osim b'daraisa. Just to end the shear, whoops. And a gadavart. He was saying the Rav is so machmer, and we'll talk about this more with Hashem tomorrow. A chometz that it's also a mashahu. Why are we so machbed that chometz is a mashahu? B'shloi b'minoi. We normally don't have that halacha. So the Chassidish Sfarim, the Oilul Sefraim, says this. Chometz represents machloikis, matzah. The word matzah is matzu merivu. It represents machloikis. Machloikis, even a mashahu, you have to stay away from.